It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
Ocean breeze, tropical beach, piña colada. You can buy an air freshener to make your car smell like you're in an oceanside paradise. Or, better yet, you can point your car toward Daytona Beach and come experience the real thing. Visit DaytonaBeach.com to discover all there is to see, do, and enjoy along the world's most famous beach, Daytona Beach, Florida. Beach on.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This is Dustin Harris with the Texas Rangers. Welcome to the Texas Rangers Baseball Podcast with Jeff and John.
Jeff Wilson started covering the Texas Rangers in 2008, though he'll never forget 2021. Out on his own, he decided it was time to do a podcast, but his wheels were spinning until a nerd came along. There's no going back now. Welcome to the Texas Rangers Baseball Podcast. Here's your host, Jeff Wilson, and the recliner nerd himself, John Moore.
All right, everybody, and welcome to the Texas Rangers Baseball Podcast. This is episode number 26, and today, Ian Mahler. Now, I'm back in the home studio. I flew in from Arizona. We did record this yesterday with Aaron Mahler. It's going to sound different when we get past our break here. So Aaron's going to come on and talk. Jeff and I also talked afterwards. There's a YouTube video out there right now with this podcast on it. So when we come back from our break, you're going to hear the entire interview on the audio. It will not sound like one of our normal podcasts because it was not recorded in our podcast studio. So we'll be back right after this and enjoy the podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by Superior Sports Investments. Established in 1995, they carry one of the largest graded card inventories in the country with the widest variety of BGS and BCCG and PSA graded sports cards. Unlike other online sellers or auction houses, they own their entire inventory. They don't take consignment, no auctions, so they take pride in every sale that they make. They make sure every card they sell is the highest quality item possible before it leaves their hands and packaged safely and securely. Visit their eBay or Amazon stores to see their entire inventories or browse SuperiorSportsInvestments.com. That's SuperiorSportsInvestments.com. And use the promo code THANKS5 for a discount. Hey guys, it's John Moore with Jeff Wilson of the Texas Rangers Baseball Podcast. And joining us today on the Texas Ranger Baseball Podcast from Surprise, Arizona, behind us the field, we're sitting up here, is Texas Rangers catcher Ian Mahler. He was a fourth-round pick last year. Ian, thanks for joining us, bud.
No problem. Thank you. Thank you.
So you had an interesting day. You went to the lab.
Right.
Then you had to go out. So it just seems like catchers are always busy in spring training.
Always.
How is it for a catcher?
It's different. We usually hear about 2 hours before everybody else is here.
Right.
So about, I just show up around here around 6 o'clock, and then obviously we're lifting or doing stuff out there, and then we're usually out about 30 minutes after practice while everybody else is done with, and then we usually have an extra meeting or two more than everybody else. So we're constantly moving from field to field. It's kind of like whatever anybody needs, like catchers are the ones that gotta go help the cause for whatever. So it's different, but I mean, it keeps it funny.
Yeah, the right now it's 12:40 local time, so you just got off the field about 30 minutes ago, late lunch, and you got, as you said, a 1:30 catcher's meeting, and you got a hitter's meeting at 2:25.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, these are full days. I think people don't understand that, you know, like you, you just said, six to seven. I mean, that's 9 hours.
Yeah, that's
or
yeah.
6 to 3. That's 9 hours.
Yeah.
You like it though. I mean, you're a catcher.
Yeah.
It takes a special person to be a catcher.
Yeah. No, I love it. The coaches make it real easy for us though. Bobby, Garrett, JJ, Kavika, and they make it real easy. They make it fun. They do a good job of making sure we, you know, we don't overwork ourselves. Just the time that we have, you know, we getting a lot of work in. So they do a great job. They make it real fun. So I mean, it's not that hard.
It seems like you guys have fun. You're doing your work.
Yeah.
Giving each other crap.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's the framing drills or blocking drills or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a band of brothers.
Right.
Yeah. Talk about these other catchers. It seems like you're all in it for the same reason.
Yeah, I mean, Spanish, English don't matter. We're all talking to each other. We find a way to communicate somehow. All our lockers are together in the locker room, so like we can't avoid each other at all. But it's real fun. They make it real fun. They're always talking crap. We always competing against each other, but you know, that's what makes it fun. So we all pushing each other, but we all having a great time out here. So
how's your Spanish?
I know a couple words, but it ain't like
probably the bad words, right?
Yeah,
the teacher had to say the bad words.
Yeah, they ain't clean. Nothing I can put on the podcast, but I know a couple of them, but I communicate with them just fine.
Well, 15 years on the beat, my biggest misgiving is that I haven't bothered to learn Spanish.
You're gonna have to because you got those Spanish speaking pitchers.
Oh yeah, no, I'm getting better at it for sure. I'm getting better.
All right, so fourth round pick. You were committed to LSU. Pretty much the day you were drafted, you said, "I'm staying with the Rangers."
Mm-hmm.
Why was that always the goal to go into professional baseball? And college was just kind of a leverage or a nice fallback?
Yeah, that was always the goal. Obviously, if I felt like college was the better option, I would have went to college. But I had a workout with the Rangers about a month and a half before the draft. It went really good. I went to a game later that night, talked to all the GM, Kip, you know Kip.
Oh, yeah.
Talked to all of them. It was a great time. And since then, I knew the Rangers were kind of like the hardest on me, like looking at me the hardest. And then when draft day came, and they called me. Well, I had to wait like 45 minutes before I got drafted. Like I knew I was going to get drafted, but I had to wait. And then I kind of knew that, you know, once they gave me the call that I was going to pursue, you know, pro baseball. But, the Rangers was the perfect opportunity for me. They loved the person I was. And obviously they loved the player, but I really liked the way they treated me, and they didn't want me to change who I was. So, I mean, it was an easy decision.
Yeah, we've had a lot of guys on the podcast, including your roommate, Cam Colley. All of you guys are like super guys. You're good people.
Right. Yeah.
Have you noticed that there's not like a jerk among you?
Yeah. I think a lot of it is just like that's the people we are before we even came here. But I think the Rangers do a good job at, you know, background checks or looking at the person you are. So I mean, when you come to the facility, most of the guys are kind of alike somehow in terms of like the way they respect people, the way they treat people, things like that. So I think that's kind of the Rangers doing. They make sure that they get a good guys with good personalities and things like that. But yeah, Cam, I love Cam. That's my man.
Cam and JoJo, right?
Yeah,
you added another one?
Yeah. JoJo?
You just got the two.
Yeah, I just got the two. JoJo, okay. JoJo's my man too. JoJo's
my man.
Dude, man, you can't outrun any of them, can you? Those dudes are fast.
I'll hit them, though.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, so you kind of have a unique story. You didn't play high school baseball or, you know, for your high school team.
Right, yeah.
Kind of explain that.
Yeah, I was a little different because I played high school in the summertime. So I was just when travel ball would have been going on. And, you know, the competition, I was kind of a little sorry. And obviously there wouldn't be a lot of scouts ain't gonna come and watch one kid in an Iowa high school game, you know. So I had talks about that when I was in 6th, 7th grade with my pops, and I mean it wasn't like a decision I made when I got to high school. It was like that decision was been made, so it was no hard feelings for nobody, and everybody from the school to the baseball coach, they understood where I was trying to go.
Who's the greatest baseball player from the state of Iowa?
Besides
you. I mean, that's the obvious answer.
I don't know. We got a lot of talent coming up. We got a dude this year who could go in the first 2-3 rounds, Tommy Speck. I don't know nobody from the past, but I know right now Iowa going to be producing a lot of players.
I think the answer is Bob Feller. I'm not sure about that.
Is Feller from Iowa?
I think he's from Bob Iowa. Feller.
Okay. Okay. You got to be older.
That's old school.
He has a museum in Iowa.
Your pops knows that one.
Yeah. He has a museum in Des Moines.
Yeah.
All right. So you're an all-around player. I know you just talked about you're going to out-hit those little fast guys. What do you need to work on? Because you got the power bat, good defensively. What else are you trying to work on this spring?
A lot of things that I talk about is just maturing as a player. Even little things like today, we was talking about pregame routines, how you're gonna prepare for the game. I talked to a lot of the older guys here. I talked to Jose Trevino a couple times too over the phone, and he kind of helps me. Just think about the mental side of the game. Obviously, I want to get more consistent at the plate. I want to get better at my blocking, but I'm really trying to get better with the mental side, the before the games, the reports before the games, and calling games and little things like that. I want to be able to understand the game more as a whole, but I think that'll help my physical side as well. So,
yeah, I mean, catching isn't just catching the ball,
right? Yeah,
I mean it's massaging pitchers when they're struggling. It's learning the scouting report, and what every guy that's going to come up to the plate is going to do, and what you want to do.
Right.
It's the hardest job in baseball.
Yeah.
There's no question about it.
Right.
I mean, it takes a special guy. It does. I keep telling my son, I want him to catch.
Right. Right.
He's only 10? No, he's 9. My son's 9.
That's tough.
You should know that more than me, so don't look at me for help.
He's 9. He's going to be 10 this year.
That's tough.
Oh, I'll send him your way.
Oh, yeah. Send him my way. I'll get him right.
All right, John, take over, man.
Okay, let me ask you this. In high school, I know baseball, obviously you committed to baseball early, but did you play any other sports growing up?
I played football. I was better at football than baseball, to be honest with you. But I played up in football, too. I played a year or two up. And once I got to, seventh grade, them boys started – when you play 2 years up, them boys start hitting growth spurts, and they start getting bigger. So I had to cut football out. But I love football.
Basketball, did you ever play that?
No, I played – when I'm back at home, I'll be playing on the parks and stuff.
Pickup games.
Yeah, but I ain't never been organized.
So you committed to LSU. Was there any other schools you thought about going to?
There was a couple of schools I was going to talk to, Vanderbilt, Louisville, Illinois, but LSU was the clear cut for me.
Okay, so you were drafted in the fourth round, 2021. Where were you at when you found out you got drafted? Tell us about that.
I was at my grandmother's house.
Were you watching it online? Were you,
I was watching it because I kind of expected my name to go a little earlier, but then we were going on the day. Well, the draft started in the morning, so that was kind of all my whole family was there. Everybody was watching it on the TV screen.
Did you get a phone call before, or did you get notified afterwards by the team?
No, I got a phone call before. That's what I got. It was starting to be the end of the second round. I got a call from my agent and from Dustin Smith, the Rangers Midwest scout, and they was talking about the fourth round. So I had to wait the whole third round plus a little bit of the fourth round. So I had to wait about 45 minutes to hear my name.
Okay, so that's what you meant by 45 minutes.
Yeah.
They had already told you, hey, we're taking you in the fourth.
Right, yeah.
Okay, be prepared. Okay.
Right. Did you tell anybody? Did you hey, come on, Dad?
He
didn't keep it a secret.
No, my family tight. They wouldn't have let that happen.
Now, when was it that you first realized you might have a shot to go pro? When did you first notice scouts were looking at you?
Probably, honestly, around my eighth grade summer, because like I said, I played 2-3 years up, so I always played with dudes who were about to, in the process of trying to get drafted.
Right.
Even though I was a few years away, I was still in talks and I was still competing at a very high level. So kind of at a young age.
Okay, so we're gonna play something called the home run game. Play this with all of them. Did you hear Cam's?
Nah.
Okay, so we're gonna talk about three home runs. Yeah. Okay, first one. First home run you ever hit over a fence. How old were you and where were you at?
I think I was around 8, and I was in Piasta, Iowa, in the middle of farmland in the middle of nowhere, and I hit a home run. I remember it was just me and my dad, And right after I hit it, like, we were in the middle of the game. Like, I called my mom and was like, told her, like, in the middle of the game, running everybody. Yeah.
Okay, your second one. What's your most memorable? Did you hit one in a perfect game or high, a walk-off, or maybe and since you've been turned pro, what's the memorable one that maybe you hit a tied a game up maybe or something like that? It could go back into when you were young and you were playing. Yeah, absolutely.
When I was 12, I was playing 14 from Wisconsin. We were in Cooperstown, New York.
Yeah.
Which Cooperstown, when you're young, is like the biggest
deal. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, guys. Wins here, so we're having a little bit of technical. There we go.
Oh, perfect.
We're up.
Yeah. Did you notice
anything? Nah, I ain't seen nothing.
So you're in Cooperstown.
In Cooperstown, it's the semifinals. Kind of two-part. I lead the game off with a home run. And then I walked the game off on a home run.
Man. Oh, so, man.
That doesn't happen much.
Yeah.
Okay, last one, the bomb. This is the one, what's the furthest you've hit one? The moment you hit it, you were like, oh, my gosh, that's it.
Ooh, it was the last week that I played my spring ball game, so a lot of scouts were there to watch me last year, my draft year. And the last week in the last game, I hit 4 home runs in one game.
Okay.
But I think the third one I hit, they said on the track man went like 444.
Absolutely. So, that's a long way for a high school kid.
What about your first pro home run? Was it over here?
It was at the Angels facility.
Okay.
I remember it was because we play the Angels on the weekend, so we got to be here at like 9 o'clock, which in season when you're about to play a game, that's early because usually you don't show until about 12 or 1.
Right.
And it was kind of like everybody's moving slow that morning. It was like my first week, first time coming here that early. And I was kind of like moving slow and I didn't know if I was going to play that game. And then it was hot and I remember it was my first at bat. It was a 3-2 count and I hit it and it was like, I don't know. My friends in the dugout, JoJo and Cam, they were more happy for me than I was. I haven't used a metal bat since I was 14.
Wow, that's good for you, though.
It is.
That's good for you. Guys, we're near an Air Force base, so every once in a while, you are going to hear a jet come by. So you're just going to have to deal with that.
That's right. It was live TV.
Yeah.
So we're going to record it.
Okay. Favorite food. What's your favorite food?
Like restaurant or just food in general?
Well, we're going to go both ways. But if you just like your favorite kind of food, you like Italian food, you like... You like Chinese food?
I like soul food. Like
soul food?
Chicken, yeah, my dad's from New Orleans. I can get some good food, seafood, soul food, kind of.
Okay, so what's your favorite fast food joint?
McDonald's. I'm basic. I love McDonald's.
Hey, I love McDonald's to this day. I know it's shit for you, but I love it.
Right.
And know what I do? I get the hot mustard sauce and dip my fries in.
I don't know about that.
Well,
but it seems like everybody grow up and hate McDonald's.
Okay, so what's your go-to? What do you get, a Big Mac? What do you go?
I get a quarter pounder plain with fries and sweet tea. That's going to take care of you for the whole day.
And it's going to take...
Yeah, because that's about... I love my food, all right? I love my food. And the quarter pounder is 5:30 and the fries 3:80.
Yeah.
So that's 9:10. And if you put in sweet tea... Sweet tea's got calories too.
Yeah,
so you're over 1,000, but
you're growing. Yeah, I'm living good.
Okay, so what is your favorite home cooked meal, and who cooks it? Is it mom, grandma? Who cooks it? When you're like home, you're like, okay, this is.
Soul food sounds good.
Well, soul food sounds good, but I imagine we're about to hear something good here. It may be in the soul food category.
Man, my mom be the one that be cooking. She be cooking. I think. My favorite thing with her, she make chicken pasta. She put different Alfredo cheese sauce on it. You mix it.
Oh my gosh, you carving up.
Good. So yeah. That's why I got big. She cutting up in the kitchen.
All right, it's the pasta there. Okay, last thing. This is what nobody knows. Let me tell you, this one always has some fun answers. Don't feel pressure. It's cool if you don't have it. Let me give you an example. Jack Leiter.
Yeah.
What's something nobody knows about Jack Leiter? He can't stand peanut butter. Hates it. That's weird. You need to give him some crap about that, because we have problems with that.
Another one we have is
Davis Wenzel.
Davis Wenzel got his finger.
He got his top of his finger cut off by a door, and he was holding it in his hand. They got his sew back on.
Right, it's just the very tip or something like that. Yeah. So what is something that nobody knows about Ian Mullen?
Oh, I have a good one. And nobody knows this. My first pro game, I remember I wasn't nervous to play the game. I was just like, I was just anxious to get out there. And it was a road trip game. And I remember I was doing everything fast or whatever, doing everything fast. And I put on no sliding pants, just my cup and my pants. So I played the whole game with no underwear on. My whole first game. But I never told nobody because I knew I would get a lot of crap for it too.
Well, you may have some people here about it now.
Yeah.
So did you have to slide?
No, I ain't slide. Thank God I didn't slide.
But you had great pants. It was probably hot.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone had a sweatshirt.
Oh, yeah. No, it was hot. It was an issue. I was scared.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, that's a good one. That's the best one.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, that's all I got. That, I always do the fun stuff. Jeff, you got anything else before we let him out of here?
He's got a meeting. We got to get him.
Yeah. Ian's got to get to a meeting. Ian, thanks you so much for coming by and talking to us. He'll see you more around the rest of the spring. I'm heading back to Dallas tonight. This is Ian Mahler, Texas Rangers catcher. Ian, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
Hey guys, that was Ian Mahler who just joined us on the podcast. This is the video version, not normal. I know we've been putting out a vlog since we've been here in Arizona, but this is going to be vlog number 4. Jeff, you're staying till Sunday. We just had some big news come up.
Yeah. Baseball's back. They reached a new CBA. The details right now are sketchy. I mean, this happened within the last hour. But it looks like that they finally found middle ground. I know they couldn't have done it 98 days ago or even yesterday or the day before. But it looks like there's going to be a full baseball season, which is terrific news. 162 games. Haven't figured out how they're going to work it. Open day is going to be April 7th, which
if
initial schedule holds, I think that was a Rangers off day.
Yeah.
I'd have to look. But they were in Miami on their way to Toronto, perhaps. So anyway, a lot to unpack, but the good news is that baseball is going to be played and this bullshit is over with.
Yes, and listen, if for those that don't know, if there were some people that questioned whether or not the players' union reps were in touch, you know, the guys that are on the executive board, were they in touch with the regular players? Did you see that? The executive board voted this down.
Right.
The players' reps voted it in. So that tells me there was a little bit of a break in between what the executive board thought and what the players thought.
Yeah, you know, and it kind of... It goes back to a thought I had and have had all along was the executive board truly representing all players? You know, you look at the composition of the executive board.
Yeah.
They're Max Scherzer, Marcus Semien, the Rangers second baseman.
Right.
Andrew Miller, those are the three off the top of my head. They're all pretty well established. And they have a lot of money in the bank.
They've made a ton.
Marcus Semien is about to get a lot of money in the bank. So their interests are different than the guy who may have to sign a minor league free agent deal and have to win a spot on the team.
Right.
A lot different than the guy who has a 3-year window and wants to make as much money as he can, even if it's $700,000 a year, like the minimum salary is going to be.
Right.
I'm actually not surprised by that. There are 1,200 Major League Baseball players.
Right.
And you know what? They want to play baseball.
Yep.
The vast majority of them want to play baseball. And if increasing the young player's salary
was
the main goal, that's accomplished.
That's done.
And if half the players are, if half the WAR stat from last year was from players who are arbitration or pre-arbitration eligible, they're getting their money.
Right.
They're happy.
Right.
And it's time to go, truth be told, I don't know how many of them care about the international draft. I mean, that got knocked out of the way. It's still pending. They have until late July to figure out what to do. But
I bet they worked that out because the owners do not want the qualifying. I mean, the players don't want the qualifying.
But anyway, with that out of the way, it just seemed like everything else was a pissing match at this point, and they needed to get it done. And I think that, you know, a lot of teams saw that and were like, come on, it's time to play, guys.
Yeah, I totally agree. Look, so I guess the question's got to ask that. So we're hearing different reports. Jeff, you're staying because players can start reporting tomorrow, some of the stuff I'm seeing. Yeah. This is not 100%, but that's kind of the way everything's leaning. They think they can ratify this quickly and get it done by the end of business today. You got to stay for us, for the podcast, for Texas. Right? And if you are not right now, the only people here are you and Kennedy and Evan, and you guys are going to get these players coming in the door. Texas Ranger Baseball Newsletter at jeffwilson.substack.com. You need to go join up. We're going to have daily stuff. He's been putting out daily stuff. Believe me, I see how he works now that I've stayed with him for 4 days. I'm tiptoeing around because he's topping and going 100 miles an hour while I'm trying to edit stuff. He's going nonstop, running quotes, doing that. This is worth $5 or $60 for the year. It's about to get busy.
Yeah, very busy. And you know, there's no, you're right. I mean, free agency could begin
tonight.
As soon as the button's pushed, as soon as the final vote comes in, the owners are going to ratify it. It's a formality. Otherwise,
right.
You know, they have the votes. They have the 23 votes. So it's going to be a formality.
Well, my guess,
somebody could sign tonight. The Rangers could sign somebody theoretically tonight.
And I'm going to be on a plane, but you'll be here ready to go.
Yeah.
Listen, and he's going to keep getting me videos while I'm back. We'll get videos back out. We talked about doing this also on the games that both of us are at. Jeff's at most games. I'm going to be at a lot of them. I won't be as many as Jeff. We'll put these little videos out before games, too, and do stuff like this.
Yeah, we could. Right now, shit, I don't know what's happening in the next hour. So, anyway.
What are some possibilities?
Sure, there are a lot. And of course, Clayton Kershaw is the big one.
Right.
The Rangers, again, they haven't been in contact with anybody for 3 months. And so they need to find out if Clayton Kershaw is healthy. They need to find out what he wants to do.
Right.
But they are going to pursue him. And, if he wants to go back to the Dodgers, makes a lot of sense for him. But staying at home in Dallas and signing with the Rangers makes a lot of sense. He knows Chris Woodward. He knows Corey Seager. He's very good friends with Chris Young, the general manager. I think the Rangers might be willing to do a 2-year deal because if you're going to sign on for 2022, which probably isn't going to be a year of contention for the Rangers,
right?
But 2023 is expected to be, and Clayton Kershaw, as I think communicated to the Rangers, that he wants to win.
Uh-huh.
And if he can do that in the second year, that might help him get through the first year. Now, I'm not saying the Rangers aren't going to win, because he would help them accomplish that.
Absolutely.
But, that's the first one.
Yep.
But while all that free agent stuff is going on, the coaches are going to meet with the players.
Right.
Because they have no idea where the players are as
Absolutely.
Far as readiness, what pitchers have been doing. They assume that they've been throwing live batting practice and stuff like that, but they don't know.
Right.
They don't know who's in shape, who's hurt. I mean, that's entirely possible.
Yeah.
Been guys who yank something in the workouts in the offseason aren't going to be ready.
Yep.
And then you have to weigh, if you have a 4-week spring training, there are going to be guys who are coming to camp who are not going to be ready.
Yep.
And there are going to be minor leaguers who are ready.
Yep.
And so the Rangers have to decide what's best for the player and also the team long term. But you don't want to run somebody out there who's going to get hurt. And look, I mean, that's a real possibility. They saw it with the 3-week spring training in 2020, the
right.
2.0 disaster, and guys who got hurt, not just with the Rangers, but across baseball. And that was a 60 game season.
Right.
You got to get through 162 here. And so you really have to take care of the players. So that's a incredibly high priority for the team, and then players have to take physicals. There may have to be intake COVID testing. There's just all kinds of stuff that's going to go on that ordinarily happens at players' leisure, at the team's leisure during the long off season, and now they don't have that time. So it's going to be a scramble here, but I think the goal, honestly, if players can report tomorrow, I think the goal would be to get them. As meet him on the field, tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday as possible and get this thing rolling.
I think one good thing that was probably going to be a little different from the COVID year is that during COVID, a lot of people were locked inside. There wasn't a lot you could do. Mm-hmm. These guys have been able to go to facilities and work out, but you're right, man. Look, the coaches have no clue what shape they're in.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm a guy that's long said I thought Clayton Kershaw would be going back to the Dodgers. That's what I've just assumed. I just assumed he would go back. You know, there was some word that came out not too long ago that a friend or somebody said
an ex-teammate
that if he plays at all, it's going to be for the Rangers, maybe kind of insinuating that maybe the Dodgers don't plan on trying to bring him back. That's a real possibility that opens him up for the Rangers. I don't know what it meant. I'm just speculating, and you know I speculate, and I'm wrong a lot.
Yeah, so is everybody.
Yeah, exactly. So that's going to be intriguing to watch. I'm, of course, on Seiya Suzuki watch. That's my guy. Mm-hmm. Chris Bryant, that's another name that's been – you've been on Chris Bryant from the beginning.
Yeah.
Guys, they're agents. Now, we need to watch Scott Boras, who's about to tell everybody that everybody's on every one of his clients, right? Because he's going to – that's how he operates. He gets everything out that every client of his is being contacted by every MLB team right now that's looking to spin.
Well, yeah, you know, you saw the way the money was thrown around before the lockout. There's still some big free agents out there. Carlos Correa being at the top of the list.
And, right.
Trevor Story's still out there. Nick Castellanos, Carlos Rodon on the pitching side. So, you know, there's still going to be some money thrown around.
Yep.
And it's going to be interesting to see what shakes loose and how much more money do the Rangers have to throw around. Well, look. If you don't necessarily look at what's on the payroll this year, but what's on the payroll next year,
yep.
The Rangers are at about $80 million in salary commitments.
Right.
That gives them a lot of room to play with, especially, and the big one is that the Elvis Andrus and Rougned Odor contract obligations come off.
Right.
So, I mean, that's the $28 million, right?
Yeah.
And so that's a lot of money. That's a good pitcher. That's a outfielder. That's a good pitcher and a good outfielder.
I mean,
you know, depending on how you want to spend it. So, and they don't have to spend it. They could, you know, maybe if they don't get Kershaw, maybe they take a shot at Rodon. You know, my concern there is if you're locking him up and you're locking John Gray up, and you have Dunning Hearn, if they continue to develop like they did last year. That leaves one opening in the rotation, theoretically, for Jack Leiter, Colwin, Owen White, Ricky Venasco, Cody Bradford, you know.
All these kids that are right there.
The next wave that's coming. So, you know, is that in the team's best interest to sign a pitcher who isn't Clayton Kershaw?
Right.
And so, because the Rangers really do value this notion of the leadership and everything that Kershaw can bring
right.
to the young players and teach them about how to win and be a professional. And so you don't want to go too crazy because you still have to have players in the minor leagues who can be productive players in the major leagues so that you can go and sign guys. You need to have the low paid guys and who can help you get the young heavily paid guys. So
right.
I wouldn't say it's Kershaw or bust, but it wouldn't surprise me that if Kershaw doesn't sign, that the Rangers do not pursue another starting pitcher.
Not a big one. Maybe they'll go the Jordan Lyles route, something like that.
Yeah.
An inning eaters, guys, to see where their top prospects are, because it's an evaluation year no matter what for all these pitchers. Mm-hmm. They're going to be at a higher level. We know Cole Wynn, who we talked to today, is probably going to be in AAA. That's a guess. That's probably where he's going to be. They haven't told
definitely
us.
Definitely going to be there, yeah.
Yeah, because he ended the season last year there and did well, so there's no real reason not to be there. One thing that we saw yesterday walking around, we did see Chris Young and John Daniel. I don't think they're going to be walking around for the next couple of days.
Well, they're going to be pretty busy.
Yeah.
And we haven't seen them today either. You know,
yeah.
And we saw them a little bit yesterday. They've got some planning to do. You know, and they pre-planned. You know, it's not like they're just suddenly going, oh shit, we got to figure this out.
Exactly.
They,
yeah.
They had 4 months or 3 months or however long it's been.
They've got a board. They probably got a board.
Scenario. And they knew that this could happen, that everything would come together so super quickly, and that's where we're at. and so they might be making a little bit of it as they go, but they do have a plan. They do have a plan in place for a 4-week spring training and how to navigate that and what to do, how to get players ready. You just who they want to sign, prioritize who they want to go get, and I think they can act quickly. So we'll see. I mean, what's quickly? It's all relative.
Right.
You know, there are going to be players who could come into camp 10 days into camp. I mean, theoretically that's possible. There could be a trade at the end of spring training that alters everything. And so there are going to be a lot of moving parts, a lot of things that you've never seen before in baseball. And it's going to be it's going to be aggravating, but it's going to be fun. Everybody's going to have a lot of energy because it's time to get going.
Right.
So anyway, we'll see what happens. But we'll be here for as long as we can. I've got obligations next week that we're pre-scheduled as part of a normal spring training.
Right.
So we're kind of SOL next week. But
hey, we got some good stuff this week.
We got a lot of good stuff this week.
In touch with a lot of guys, touch base. We didn't get to do some of these little videos I wanted to do with the players. They're busy. And that's why I'm saying that some of these may – it's good thing big leaguers are coming back because these guys are working nonstop. Man, that's a long day. As Ian just said a while ago when we were talking to him, starts at 6 or 7 in the morning, goes till 3 o'clock or 1 o'clock, whatever it was.
Sure.
And it's a long day. Well, man – we're about to go grab some lunch. I'm heading to the airport this afternoon. You're going to be back here figuring out what's going on.
Yeah, I need to change my flight real quick.
And get that rolling. Guys, until next time, we'll get this out as quick as possible. But until then, we'll see you at the yard.
It's winner-take-all time in the NBA and NHL, and FanDuel's giving you a shot to bring home a big win of your own. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. That's $150 to bet on spreads, money lines, player props, and more. Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make every playoff shot count. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.